from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Youth Express, the nation's first 24/7 radio station devoted to youth writing, music, and conversation.
I don't know why some people look down on people who either give up on college or never go in the first place.
There are people that just hate you because of your race or ethnicity, but we are definitely making progress.
She's hungry for everything, the life within, trying to find her way around again. Looking and searching is what she's doing.
So I followed my brother down to the riverbank, and we donned our skates. While Lev hurried, I tarried. While Lev trudged through the slush, I caught a flake on my tongue.
My parents are from Bhutan. They migrated to Nepal, and I born there, and I moved here in the US. So it's a long journey to get here.
On today's episode, original radio drama and fiction. But first, Rachel McLaughlin, a seventh grader at Carson Middle School, with a commentary on daily school start times.
Imagine you stayed up until midnight finishing your homework last night. 5.5 hours later, your alarm goes off to wake you up for school. You're exhausted, but you need to get up so you can catch your bus. You only got 5.5 hours of sleep, but according to the Nationwide Children's Hospital, teenagers need between 9 and 9.5 hours of sleep. This is why I believe that start times for middle and high school should be later than they are right now. In elementary school, start times could either remain the same or be earlier. For most districts, elementary school starts much later than high school's. However, elementary school students have less homework and less stress, therefore giving them plenty of time to sleep. For middle and high school students, they have to stay up later doing more homework and activities, yet they have to go to school earlier and have more energy-draining things to do packed into their school day. Not only does getting a good night's sleep help you to concentrate and be more productive at school, according to the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, sleep is involved in healing and repair of your heart and blood vessels. Sleep research shows this model that allows for more sleep in secondary students enhances student achievement. For example, if instead of your school starting at 7 a.m., it started at 9 a.m., and your school day was 7 hours long, you would get out of school at 4 p.m., still leaving about 6 hours to do activities and homework at home before considering sleeping. A big challenge is in busing and getting enough bus drivers to get all the students to school at the correct time. More schools need to look at districts where these changes have been implemented, such as Seneca Valley School District. During the 2018-2019 school year, start times were 35 minutes later for secondary students, with only a slight change for elementary start times. These changes were made after school board officials considered the research of the biology of sleep in adolescence and its related effect on students' achievement. Being a middle school student who feels like I don't get enough sleep, I would love to see even a small difference in my school's start time being later than 8:10 a.m. With a commentary for Youth Express, this is Rachel McLaughlin, a 7th grader at North Allegheny.
Now, Mia Nakarado, a junior at North Allegheny High School, with an original story entitled Swing Set.
The ideas are swirling in my head. Vigo says that I have a big spirit, but an even bigger imagination. I never know how to respond when he tells me this. Currently, I am perched on a rusty swing in the old park by the old toy factory in the old part of town. I can practically smell the rot and mold. My pen hovers over my paper. All my thoughts claw at the wall of my brain, willing for an escape through the ink of my pen. I close my eyes, feeling the cool breeze tickle my eyelids. Write, I urge myself. Write. I breathe a bit. The somewhat fresh air never ceases to inspire me, but what really inspires me is Vigo. I knocked on his door earlier today. His mama answered, bags under her dark eyes. Vigo can't come out today, darling, she said. He's pretty busy with homework. Then she shut the door. If that isn't finality, I don't know what is. I sigh and lean backwards on the swing now. It creaks under all 102 pounds of me. Vigo and I used to come here quite frequently as kids. The playground was a lot nicer a decade ago. We would have so much fun swinging from the monkey bars. I remember thinking that it was the coolest thing when Vigo hung upside down. But I would be frightened, too. Get down, I would shriek. Vigo would laugh and laugh and tell me not to worry. He said that his muscles could take the strain of going against gravity. He always tells me not to worry. But I'm worrying now, because something is wrong. Is Vigo mad at me? He rarely misses our little escapades, and he has never skipped out on me just to do homework. Worry settles in my gut like a dumbbell. Vigo, Vigo, Vigo. I wonder how he would look on my page. Vigo. I think as hard as I can. There are so many things that come to mind when I think of him, but the one thing that stands out the most is the same word that scares me beyond anything. Love. I try not to write this down. If Vigo were here to flip through my book one day on a whim, love. Before I know what I am doing, that same word is etched in ink, permanent, unmoving. I stare at it for a while. I've never known Vigo to be anything besides my friend until a few years ago, when we sat on the very swing set that I am sitting on now. He pumped his legs back and forth as he went ever higher, the set groaning beneath him. His mouth was open and his eyes were closed, and he looked as if he was a young kid again. "Come on," he shouted. "Don't be a loser." So I wasn't a loser. We swung side by side. The wind pushed my hair back and chilled my teeth. I laughed with him. When I opened my eyes against the unwavering breeze and looked to my right, Vigo's eyes met mine. Something shifted. I didn't realize what exactly until later when I was in my room listening to Green Day. It knocked the wind out of me as a brook would, hitting me over and over. Eventually, I was forced to think about this revelation. For hours, I lay there, thinking about Vigo. The sound of crunching leaves startles me out of my reminiscing. A flash of bright red Converse and faded blue jeans come into view as the footsteps get closer. I know not to look up. He knows to get down low to meet my eyes. "Hey," he says, tapping my chin. "This is a game that we have. Just a small dance in the elaborate tango that is our friendship." "Hey," I reply. I try my best not to lift my chin and give him the satisfaction. "I'm sorry." At this, I look up. Vigo's piercing brown eyes meet my gaze. He never apologizes. Ever. Not when he accidentally drove my new bike into a thick stump. Not when he chucked a baseball through my bedroom window, shattering the glass. And certainly not when he ignored my stares of longing and waved me off with a swift hand. "For what?" "For leaving you this morning. I should have let you know what was going on," he said. "Yeah," I reply, trying to keep my voice steady. "You really should have." Vigo nods, though I know he doesn't fully understand my hurt. I barely understand my hurt. "Listen," he begins, his voice soft and supple. It is like he is trying to talk to a baby. "I think I need to tell you something." "You think you need to tell me something? Or do you actually need to tell me something?" He chuckles humorously, stands, rubs the back of his neck like he always does when he's nervous. But usually the neck rubbing is reserved for his friends when they call me names, or for his mom when she asks where we were for the past 4 hours. "I can't," he starts, his Adam's apple bobbing as he gulps. I nod encouragingly up at him. "I can't hang out with you anymore," he says. He spits it out like it's a bad taste in his mouth. His words hit me square in the chest like a bullet gone rogue. I can't breathe and my palms become clammy. "I'm sorry," I stutter, shaking my head in disbelief. "What?" Vigo turns his head away, and I can sense the nervousness within him. "Look, I know that we've been friends for a while. Try 15 years, I say, cutting him off. To me, saying we've been friends for a while does not do our relationship justice. If he wants to bring up time, he needs to face the facts. "Okay," he tries again. "I'm sorry, I just..." Silence falls over us like a heavy blanket. I look at Vigo for a minute. I didn't notice those little freckles on his nose until a couple of years ago, but now they are the first thing that my eyes are drawn to. There are about 30 of them on his light brown skin. His mom calls them angel kisses. I don't know what I should call them. Vigo sits down on the swings beside me. I want to say something, but my mouth refuses to open. Vigo just lets the silence drag on with a ball and chain attached to its ankle. Never in my life have I felt this disconnected to my best friend. I tap my pen absentmindedly on my notepad. "What you writing?" Vigo asks, trying to break the silence. I'm not really in the mood for pretending that everything is okay, but I go along with it anyway. "Oh," I say. I move my hand, remembering too late why I had my hand clamped over the page in the first place. Vigo stares at the word written in my handwriting. I could cover it again. I could make excuses and say that I was just writing a cheesy love story, but he knows. I see it in the way his eyes glisten. Oh, he says. His voice reminds me of a feather floating in the breeze. My stomach coils itself into a knot. Bile rises in my throat. Vigo just stays beside me on his swing. Neither of us move. Why did I let him see that? So stupid. My dad, Vigo says suddenly. I told my dad that I would never have a wife and kids. I told him that I would rather eat nails than pretend to love someone. He pauses and bows his head. I stop breathing and my mind becomes foggy. He said that I couldn't be around you anymore, that you were a bad influence on me. Vi clears his throat. He says you're the reason that I'm different. He says the last word quietly. He says it like a secret. He says it like it's something to be ashamed of. Different. I've been different all my life. Vigo's always been the normal one. When football tryouts opened in sixth grade, Vigo's name was the first on the list. For any school dance, Vigo would be the one to turn down hordes of dates while I would be hiding in the library. Vigo is sports and his fast cars and cigarette butts. I'm just rotting pages in an unfinished story. Vigo is like the preppy older brother to my messed up younger one. You're not different, Vigo. Tell my old man. I will, I say, turning with him to the desperation that comes with losing someone. I'll tell your dad. I'll tell anyone in the world. You're normal. You're no misfit. And you think that you are, he asks me. I think that I am what? Vigo looks at me dead in the eyes. My already knotted stomach seems to fall away. You're not a misfit, Elias. He has not used my real name in forever. It's always been Ellie, never Elias. Elias has always seemed so stern. I don't know how to properly respond to this, and I don't even try. There's no point. After today, he'll probably hang out with his jock friends doing jock things. He'll probably get a girlfriend. God, what torture that will be. I'll be forced to see Vigo and his stupid girlfriend cuddling by the lockers every day. I'll have to see Vigo wrestling with his buddies in the hallway, but the most awful thing is that I'll have to see Vigo at all. I feel my fists clench as the full weight of the situation weighs down on me. I'm losing my best friend and my first love, and it hurts more than I could have ever imagined. With a grunt, Vigo lifts himself off the swing, and I watch helplessly, hoping with all of me that he will stop walking and turn to face me once more. His feet, that were once so freely moving, now drag on the ground. His body slouches as if it is being pulled down by an all-consuming burden. Eventually, I realize that he won't turn around. He won't do anything. It's up to me to be brave. Vigo, I shout, hating the way my voice cracks. Tears well up in his eyes. He turns around, his eyes dark and sad. Vigo, I love you, I tell him, my voice thick with every feeling that I have ever harbored for him. I know, he replies. His chin quivers like it always does when he's trying to hold in his tears. I know. And with that, he spins back around and walks away. I should run and stop him. I should tell him to stay with me, but I don't move. I don't call out again. I just stay hopelessly and watch the guy that I'm in love with walk away from me.
On our last segment, fourth and fifth grade students at Pittsburgh Faison with an original radio drama.
Pittsburgh Faison Productions presents The Mean Girls in the Storm.
My name is Nakaya, and my character's name is Ashton.
Hi, my name is Kaylee, and I'm going to be playing the one of the Mean Girls, and her name is Crystal.
My name is Grace, and I'm going to be playing Hope, the Nice Girl.
Hi, my name is Kibera, and I'm going to be playing Shanna, the Nice Girl.
My name is Willa, and I'm going to be playing Diamond, the Girl in the Middle.
Once upon a time, there was a cheerleading group that was practicing after school. It was the first day of winter, and a big storm had hit. And they couldn't go back home, so they had to stay at the school together.
Ashton, what was that?
Crystal, I don't know what that was. It was probably just a loud noise outside.
Let's go check it out.
Crystal, I'm not sure about that one. Like, what if we get stuck in the storm and we won't get back into school? We're going to be stuck out there.
This is such a scaredy cat. Let's go. Come on, Ashton. Just let's go. I don't want to go by myself. What about I get eaten by Cookie Monster?
Fine. Let's go, Crystal. Oh my God.
Didn't I tell you what the bad decision, Crystal? Oh my God.
Oh, it's calm. I'm going back. Woo, we're back in the house, Crystal.
You mean the school? Where's the nice girls anyway?
They're just so lame-os.
Exactly. Let's get back to work.
Hey, Shanna, what did you put for question 48?
I put A for 48, Hope.
But did you know I got an A on my test? How about you?
Well, I got a B on my test, Hope.
Look at that storm. Wow, let's go really tell the girls. Didn't you see that one other girl in the school? Since she's a science expert, we should go ask her about the weather.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good idea.
Hey, Diamond, are you in there?
Hello? Yes, I'm in here. How may I help y'all?
Did you know this is a storm? We came to see you since you know all about weather.
Yeah, the storm is -3 today.
Wow, that's crazy.
The Doppler regular said it's going to be the storm of the century.
That's going to be crazy.
I'm so scared. It's going to be -3. I'm going to be freezing out my drawers.
We got to go tell the cheerleaders.
Okay, here we come.
Let's go.
I am the scientist. The Doppler radar says it's going to be the storm of the century, and it's -3. And we're going to freeze our drawers off.
What does that even mean? Why would we listen to you, nerd?
Because I'm a scientist, and I know all about the weather, and that means, like, it's going to be very cold. It's going to be the coldest night you've ever been in.
Okay, well, we're busy trying to do us, so how about y'all just worry about y'all and we'll worry about us?
You guys don't have to be so rude about it. Just let you guys know the weather. Dang.
Okay, well, we're trying to get to work, and we're trying to get ready for our big thing, unlike you nerds who only study and be boring.
We need to work together. The storm is going to be bad. Well, y'all need to go to the 11th floor. Go to the 11th floor. Not the first, not the second, not the third, the 11th.
We're going home. We don't care what you guys gotta say.
Why would we listen to y'all? Y'all don't even talk to us. Like, we don't got time for all y'all nerdiness.
Should we really go home?
I think we should go home because we don't got time for this. We could just go home and be cool.
Y'all, there's no need to argue. Y'all are cheerleaders and they are studiers. We're all the same people. It's just we're doing different things. And I want y'all to be safe, so we gotta go to the 11th floor immediately. When I say immediately, I don't mean slow. Immediately! We're dealing with a weather event. It's on a scale of the last ice age.
Well, Ashton, I don't know about you, but I'm staying here.
Fine, since you're my best friend and you're the only person that I like, I might as well just go with you.
I never thought I would listen to nerds before, but okay, I guess I'm doing it so I don't die.
So, the girls are trying to work together and be cool. They're trying to go upstairs, but guess what? They don't even know that 11th floor is blocked. By the time they get up there, it's going to take a long time to find another floor to go to. Someone left a window open, the whole room is filled with snow. How are they going to be in there? They're going to freeze to death. Let's see what's going to happen, guys.
I'm cold. It's really cold.
I really agree with you. It's freezing in here.
I got the blankets here.
I'm so cold. I could have. I might be sick.
I got some hot chocolate in the 10th floor. Let's go to the 10th floor.
Y'all, I think we should really build a fire so we won't be cold and we can keep ourselves warm and then we can go to the 10th floor.
How are you talking regular?
I'm not really cold. I'm just used to cold weather. I'm a winter baby.
Y'all, we're finally on the 10th floor and I see all these boxes. We could burn the boxes.
The group of the girls survived the storm while drinking hot cocoa and burning up some nice wood.
I'm really sorry for being rude to y'all. I know that's not right. It's bullying, and I'm sorry for bullying you.
Apology accepted, Crystal. Now we're all friends. Thank you.
I'm glad we're all safe.
Ashton and Crystal, I'm mad y'all doubted me, but I'm happy y'all listened, y'all.
After they rode out the storm, the next day, they all sat together at lunch, and the scientist girl and the mean girl and the study girls, they all got accepted on their cheerleading team, and they all had fun and still do what they did differently. The end.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of Youth Express. Youth Express is made possible with support from the Henry L. Hillman Foundation, the Pittsburgh Penguins Foundation, and the 33 Foundation, and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at youthexpress.org.